Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, October 6, 2020. On this Testimony Tuesday, via this past Sunday's sermon, I'll be introducing you to Bill Ellison, founder of Cadre Missionaries. And you can learn more at Cadre, C-A-D-R-E, missionaries.com. But oftentimes God works in patterns of three. I don't know if you've heard that concept before, but I recently finished a book by Francis Chan, and actually I'm rereading it now, called Multiply, and it's all about disciples making disciples. And I'm in a Christian discipleship program where we're focusing on making disciples and discipling a younger person in the faith. And then with Sunday's message by Bill Ellison, which I think is a great one, challenging us all as we go to make disciples, I just have to share it with you. So here's Bill Ellison of Cadre Missionaries, beginning the program with a reading from Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I love that, by the way. Some were all in, he's God, he's the one. Others were like, I'm not quite sure. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. How many of you have heard this before? You've heard this great commission from the book of Matthew. That's exactly why you are in danger. You're in danger because you think you know something. You're in danger because you've heard this before. You know what inoculation is? Just enough of the truth to forget about it. Just enough of the truth to have an antibody that resists it, right? The worst place to be in our lives is to think we know something because we're not open to anything new. Blah, blah, blah. Here comes our missionary of disciple making to tell us all about making disciples again. This guy only has one message. That's all he's got. And he keeps coming back to us. When is he going to give us something new? That's what one of my friends recently asked me, a pastor. He said, when's Cadre going to do something new? I said, well, the last I heard, we're supposed to make disciples. Until King Jesus gives us a new one, I'm going to stay with that for a while.
Amen.
Right? The best place to be is, I know that I don't know. Think about that. Because when you know that you don't know, you want to know. But to think you know already puts you in a bad position. Look at that passage again. All authority has been given to heaven and earth to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you to the end of the age. There's one command in that passage. Look at your passage. There's one command. What is that command? Most of you are sitting next to someone. If you're not, that's okay. But for those of you who are sitting next to someone, I want you to do this. Tell the person what you think the one command is. Go ahead. Tell the person what you think the one command is. Now wherever I go, this is what I find. People read it like this. Therefore, go and make disciples. How many of you say the one command is go? That's because you've been taught, most of you, right? You've been taught. And you also, if you look at your cheater sheet that you're going to do for Monday, that's the first thing that is addressed on there. What does it mean to go? This is what I think has stopped us as followers of Jesus in the 21st century in America from actually impacting the world. And I'll tell you why. It's because we hear the word go. And most of us think this, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here in this country. And Jesus says, go. You hear him say, go. Which means it's a missionary call to another country. Can I tell you something? I know where I can get that in the passage. He says, make disciples of what? All nations. So it does have to go to all nations. But Jesus' call to go isn't necessarily that part. It's all nations. It includes all nations. The word go can actually be translated, and many people do translate it this way, as you go. Now think with me for a moment. How different is that? If you emphasize go, then that means you let yourself off the hook. I let myself off the hook because I ain't going to any other nation. At least not right now. And neither are you. But the problem is, all nations includes America. And this is a nation. And by the way, this nation has become the nation of many nations. Right in our own area now, the nations have come to us. And so it's more important that we understand that it's not we go overseas only. We do. But it's as you wake up tomorrow, it's as you go, make disciples. Now how is that different? Well, that means the onus is on everybody. That means the onus is on all of us. How many of you are Christians? Let's call you what you really are. Followers of Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, you have an as-you-go disciple-making way of life that Jesus has commissioned you. It couldn't be more clear. We have one job. You ever hear somebody say that? You have one job. It's usually exasperated, right? You have one job. Make disciples. That's all I wanted you to do was make disciples. This idea of just making disciples. You had one job. Can I say something to you? I think we've become great at everything in the church except making disciples as a way of life. There is a greater need now than ever before for us to live a disciple-making way of life. Let's go back into the context for a moment of Matthew 28. This is 2,000 years ago. Here's my question to you. This is like a very, very important thing when you're studying the Bible. It's hermeneutics. It's the art and science of correct Bible interpretation. One of the most important questions you can ask as you wrestle Scripture is, how would the people Jesus was talking to have heard it in their day? What did this mean to them in their day 2,000 years ago? If you'd give me some poetic license, I would like to take a stab at how the disciples heard the Great Commission. Jesus, I think, would have said something like this. You know the friendship that I've shared with you for the last 3.5 years? Repeat that in the exact same way over and over again. Starting right now, go and do exactly what I did with you with other friends and help them do it with their friends without ever stopping. When you tell others about your life, about me, in your life about me, some will follow me. Baptize them in my name, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be sure to pull them close like I did with you, and show them how to love God, love people, and make disciples until every community in the world has disciple-making friends who are making more disciple-making friends. As you live your life, and my life, disciple-making way of life, you can have full assurance of my presence, power, provision, because I am with you always. That's how I honestly believe they heard that. So the question that I want to ask for you is, what does it look like to live an as-you-go disciple-making way of life right now, right here in Mahomet, Illinois? If you're a follower of Jesus, you've been commanded by Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, and that includes this nation. Before you worry about whether or not God might send you to another nation, why not first live as a Jesus-like disciple maker in the nation you now live? After all, if you don't live with Jesus' heart and passion for making disciples now and here, you won't magically start making disciples by going overseas. Going overseas does not a missionary make. So what might living as a Jesus-like disciple maker in a 21st century look like? Are you a stay-at-home mom? Then go about every part of your mothering in a God-honoring way and seek to make disciples of those who cross your life's path, starting with your kids and other mothers and the people in your neighborhood. Are you a student? Then go about every part of your day being a student in a God-honoring way and seek to make disciples of those who cross your path, starting with friends at school. Are you in business? Then go about every part of your business in a God-honoring way, and seek to make disciples of those who cross your path, starting with your colleagues and those whom you do business. Are you on staff at a church? Believe it or not, people on staff at church can actually live this way. Not just tell you, but they can actually live this way. Then go about every part of your job and ministry in a God-honoring way, and seek to make disciples of those who cross your path, starting with the staff and volunteers and other students. Are you a construction worker? Then go about construction job in a God-honoring way. And seek to make disciples of those who cross your path, starting with your co-workers. Are you in healthcare? Anybody? God bless you. This is a tough time to be in healthcare. Thank you. Are you in healthcare? Then go about every part of your job helping with the wellness of people's lives in a God-honoring way, and seek to make disciples of those who cross your path, starting with your co-workers and patients. My daughter's in healthcare. We send her out every day. Go out and heal people, Aubrey. Go heal people and be kind along the way. Are you a farmer? Any farmers? I love the farmers. Farmers love multiplication. That's what we share in common. You put one seed in the ground, boom! That's how disciple-making works, just like that. As a farmer, how can you live for Jesus? Then go about every part of your farming in a God-honoring way. Seek to make disciples across your path, starting with your neighbors, friends, and associates. Are you fill in the blank? What is it you do? I didn't mention it. What is it you do? Well, whatever you do, do it in a God-honoring way. Work an honest 8 hours or whatever amount of time you have to do, and bring glory to God by the way you work. But look for those opportunities to just love God and love people and those who cross your path. I'm telling you, that's the kind of life. It's simple, but it eludes us. Because we love the distractions of all the other things. I got great news for you. Some of you think when you come to church, this is kind of a heavy thing. Oh my goodness, the guy said he got to go out and make disciples, so I got to go out and find a bunch of whole new group of people. No. I'm not asking you to form a whole bunch of new friendships you can't sustain. I'm asking you to do this, because I think this is what Jesus said. As you go means go do whatever you're doing in your life, but as you go, you lift up your eyes and you notice a coworker, and you notice a friend, and you notice a neighbor, and you notice your family. And you notice, I let my kids suck me into all these friendships with their friends. Right? I just, as I go, I'm like looking for that opportunity somewhere just to be a blessing and encouragement. And that often leads to conversations about Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. It's that simple. It's not what Jesus says. Is lift up your eyes. John 4:35. He says it to the disciples because they could not fathom that a Samaritan woman could be saved. He says, no, lift up your eyes. They're all around you. As you go, lift up your eyes. And then I always think that nudge from the Holy Spirit, you might get that nudge. Or someone else might come up to you and start talking to you. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is the answer to my prayer. This is what God wants me to do. Some of you are like, I'm introverts. I understand that. But I actually think introverts are the best disciple makers I know. You know what my wife does? The most intense introvert I know, my wife. She doesn't even like me talking about her right now. That's how introvert she is. Right? Here's what my wife will do. She'll just love the people that are in her path, starting with her family. Our neighbor across the street had cancer. Another woman over there, a mom. What's my wife? Soon my wife, she walks over. She says, hey, I heard you're going to be getting some treatment. Number one, I'm going to pray for you. Number two, I'll pick up your kids from the bus. Feed them. You'll be gone while you're getting all these treatments. I'll take care of them. Next thing you know, she's going to Bible study with my wife. That's just how it works. And all she does is just loves the people around her in a gentle and practical way. I actually have come to the conclusion introverts are better at making disciples than extroverts. They focus on a few and it changes the world. God doesn't say, as you go, make disciples unless you're an introvert. Then you just stack the chairs at church. No, he says, all of us. What's that look like for you? To live a disciple-making way of life. Jesus isn't asking you to start a whole bunch of new relationships. He wants to start right now, right here, with the people in the ebb and flow of our life already. Well, why is all this so important? Why is the greatest need of the world today people like you and me walking out that door, and whoever crosses our path, we just have a moment with them. We just bless them if we can. These are people that are in our life on a regular basis. Wherever we go, we are disciple makers looking for a place to happen. You may have noticed, this world is a crazy place right now, is it not? And does it feel like it's getting crazier? It is. And not only is it getting crazier, it feels like in North America, paganism. You hear what I'm saying? Godlessness. That, like it says in the Old Testament, that which is right has become wrong. That which is wrong has become right. Do you see it? It feels like in this current 21st century Western American culture that paganism is displacing what was once part of Christianity. You see it in our laws. You see it in the way people treat each other. You see it in all aspects of life. The question is, why did that happen? Ironically, the church Jesus started in the first century. Listen to this now. The church Jesus started, starting with the Gospels where he pulled people close and he gave them this way of life and showed them how to live it and then commanded them to go make more of that. In the book of Acts, we get to see that explode. In 300 years, from 0 AD to 300, Christianity exploded across the Roman Empire. It exploded, but it exploded slowly at first, and then, boom, by 300 AD, there were so many Christians. They had no political power, no money to speak of. I want you to think about this. They did not conquer the Roman Empire in all the ways we try to conquer America. It's the exact opposite. Everything that's about power, Jesus is about serving. This whole, we've gotten sucked up into all this craziness. As if voting the right person in is going to fix anything. The only person that can fix anything is Jesus. And he's coming to set up his kingdom. In the meantime, he sent us to start it. He's commanded us to go, well, and build that kingdom. And every time we help someone find and follow Jesus, you know what happens? The kingdom of God grows. If you think, well, I just go to church, you're missing it. I'm glad you go to church. But if you think Jesus is going, now once a week, sit your family in a church with somebody and go yak and yak and yak, and walk out and live, you're missing the whole point. I love the church. Listen now. I love the church gathering. I don't miss. But I love Monday through Saturday with the church on mission. And that's who we are. And the church is us, not the pastor. Yeah, it's great. That's why we pay him to do it all, right? No, it's not going to work. He doesn't nearly have the contacts you do. So what would happen if you just do this? You were like, okay, I'm going to go on a mission with God. So how did the early followers conquer the Roman Empire in 300 years? In his book, The Triumph of Christianity, Dr. Rodney Stark, a sociologist, says this, the spread of religious movements is not accomplished by dramatic events or by persuasive preachers. Sorry. This is not how movements start. He says this, it's always ordinary followers who convert their equally anonymous friends and relatives and neighbors. That's me, that's you. The equally anonymous people, just like we are, who make a difference for Jesus in the ebb and flow of life. You know what that sounds like to me? Disciple-making friendships that multiply. If you really know us, if you really know Cadre, you know we're a bunch of ordinary folks who share the gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus' disciple-making way of life with our ordinary friends and relatives and neighbors. What if, listen now, said all that to say this, what if an as-you-go disciple-making way of life is the only hope for this country? What if all of us engaging in as-you-go disciple-making way of life is the only hope? I believe it is. Because it changed the world when people live that way. The only hope is to get back to Jesus, get back to the servant. We need all hands on deck. Would you please show that picture of my friend? I didn't even know this guy existed until about a year ago. I pray, Lord, show me who to pull close. Show me pull close. All of a sudden I get an email. He goes, hey man, I heard you preach at our church. I'm really interested in discipleship. I want to talk to you. And my first thought is, I hope he's not selling Amway. Isn't that insane? Because people sometimes want to get with you so they can get something from you. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you how many times I've gotten an email like that. My little heart is like, I'm kind of naive about friendships. Oh, somebody wants to be my friend. I'm in, right? So I go out to coffee with them, and then at the very end of the coffee, here's the thing. Hey, I think God's called me to preach. Can you get me in a church? It's so disappointing to me. They were just using me. And so I got my guard up. I'm like, and my first thought was, who's this crazy guy? And God's like, stop it. You asked me to nudge you. I nudged him first. I said, okay, let's go. I sat across from him. He's a businessman. I know he doesn't look like a businessman. This is where we go. We go have avocados. It's ice cream and espresso shots at Dunkin' Donut. That's how we roll. That way I can get out of there fast too, if I need to, right? So first time I sat across from him, I spent 3.5 hours with him. And I said, what do you do? Don't you have a job? He goes, I'm a businessman, and we're okay. And he said, but it affords me the opportunity to do stuff like this. I said, okay. And we just began a friendship. I said to him in that first meeting, he goes, I want to know what you mean. I gave him the disciple maker's prayer. I said, I dare you to pray this. And then I looked at him and I said, and if you do, you better buckle your seatbelt. From that moment on, almost every week, I get a text from him. And he says, I prayed the disciple maker's prayer and I met a new friend. He is now helping people find and follow Jesus, and now they are helping. In 1 year, he is helping others. When I meet a friend like that, I stay connected to him because he's crazy. Now, crazy in my world is a beautiful moniker. If I call you crazy, that means like you are so different than all of them. You know why? You're actually doing what Jesus says. You're crazy. You're living like Jesus says. You're crazy. So now his name is Brad Beal. I call him Crazy Brad Beal, or when, just for fun, I call him CBD. Because that's funny right there, personally. Right? I go, CBD, you're amazing. Because Jesus is in you, and he's living through you. I wish we all were crazy. And we can be. It's an as-you-go disciple-making way of life. Will you? Is this just another sermon? You know, the crazy thing about American churches, we're going to study like crazy and bring our best A game, and then you take notes and do nothing about it all week, and then come back and want even a better sermon next week. We've got to rethink this. What if instead we were a group of friends who followed Jesus together and then marched out of here with the commission to love God, love people, and make disciple makers wherever we go?
That was Bill Allison, founder of Cadre Missionaries. He preached that message just this past Sunday at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Pastor Jason Schiffo's church. And you hear Pastor Jason on Fridays with me. Oh, listening friends, take it to heart. As you go, you're on a mission for God to seek opportunities to proclaim His good news message. Look to be a blessing and an encouragement to those around you this day. Find out more at cadremissionaries.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.